welcome back
to another Monday Dirt Talk episode. I'm here with Harrison, and we're going to be talking about an article. So I was researching. I knew we were going to be recording some of these episodes this week. So this weekend, I was researching, poking around on the internet, surfing the web, as the kids say, to find an interesting article to discuss. And I found this. It's not a fun topic at all, but when I started reading it, it was, to me, quite shocking. And I think it's extremely, extremely important to discuss. The topic, this article, is from 4constructionpros.com. They've been great to us, great organization. And the title is Opioids and Overdose Deaths in the Construction Industry, A Call to Action. And sure, the headline caught my attention, and so I started to read.
Who wrote this?
This is by Cal Bayer, December 11th, 2023. So it's a pretty recent article. I'm trying to keep it recent.
Yeah.
So here we go. For over two decades, the opioid crisis has impacted the U.S. The opioid crisis has fueled an overdose crisis that began before the pandemic and then exploded during and after the pandemic. The CDC report, the number of overdose deaths in the United States has more than doubled in the past 5 years, which is terrifying. Tragically, over 105,000 Americans died from all overdoses in 2022. And approximately 70% of all overdose deaths in the United States are attributed to opioids. And almost 70% of all opioid deaths are due to synthetics, especially fentanyl. And then this is where it starts to get really interesting. A recent National Center for Health Statistics report confirmed the construction and extraction industries have been hit hard by the opioid crisis. Released on August 22nd, 2023, drug overdose mortality by usual occupation and industry. It's a report. This is the first time there has been national data highlighting the impact of the opioid crisis on industry groups and occupations. So over the past few years, I'm sure you've heard or probably experienced firsthand this opioid crisis, this overdose crisis. And for the first time last year, they started to look into the data and break things out by occupation, which is really where this came from and is quite terrifying. So construction was number one. The overdose death rate for construction is almost three times higher than the rate of suicide for the construction industry. And the rate of suicide is five times higher than workplace fatalities from safety-related incidents.
Wow.
And so the first time I heard about the suicide issue in construction, which has gained a lot of traction over the past year or two from people like Michelle Walker, Vince Feli, mm-hmm. and others that we've had on the podcast, that's pretty remarkable. But remarkable in a terrible way. But the overdose death rate for construction is almost three times higher than the rate of suicide in the construction industry. So this is three times more than that. And I've never seen this really addressed anywhere on any job site in any professional setting. And maybe I have in passing, but I was trying to think about this. It's like, man, I haven't seen this talked about anywhere. And anywhere.
I mean, online articles are great, and this is a great source of news, but like, where is this on like national news?
Why, this is
a massive problem.
It's a massive problem, but why isn't this at every toolbox talk on every job site in America right now? It's alarming. Article continues, based on annual census data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, 2021 was the ninth consecutive annual increase of workplace and or job site fatalities from unintentional overdose from non-medical use of drugs and alcohol. This now accounts for over 8% of all occupational fatalities. This data has not been available by industry until now. It appears reasonable to project that construction accounts for a large, if not disproportionate, share of these fatalities. And then it comes down to risk factors. So it starts to talk about, all right, this is a big problem. And before I get into solutions here, I found some other, and this was from another article, and I didn't include the actual headline here, but of the, this is 2021. So overdoses in 2021 left 107,000 Americans dead, an all-time high. Of more than 93,000 Americans who died from drug-involved overdoses in 2020, nearly 70,000 died from opioid-involved overdoses driven by fentanyl, which is similar to what they just said here. So most overdose deaths are drug-involved overdoses, and most drug-involved overdoses are because of opioids and synthetic fentanyl. Around 15% of all construction workers in the United States have a substance abuse disorder, compared to 8.6% of the general population of adults. Construction workers represent about 25% of fatal opioid overdoses among all workers. And opioid addiction often begins after being prescribed the drugs for an injury. Mm-hmm. And so the data is still early on, and this is the first time data has ever been collected by occupation on overdoses. But the initial data is showing that up to a quarter of the fatal opioid overdoses are from construction workers, which is insane. And it begins by being prescribed legal prescription drugs for typically injuries.
Wow.
Yeah. So we go back to Cal Bayer's article here for Construction Pros. Assessing risk factors. Opioid risk reduction and overdose prevention is a complex problem. There's no easy button or single solution. Addressing the opioid and overdose crisis requires straight talk to acknowledge that there is a problem, which is hopefully what we're starting with today. Stigma associated with substance misuse creates barriers to care seeking for addiction treatment and recovery. Musculoskeletal, I always struggle with that word, injuries and prescriptions for on and off the job injuries and surgeries have been identified as contributing factors. A major contributing factor for opioids in construction stems from the high frequency of injuries affecting construction workers. The Center for Construction Research and Training highlights approximately 34% of construction workers have at least one musculoskeletal disorder, which leads to opioid prescriptions. Prescriptions for on and off the job injuries and surgeries continue to be the source of new cases of persistent opioid use in construction. Prescription doses were reported as being 20% stronger and for 20% longer durations. So the problem typically is somebody gets injured on or off the job, or someone just has chronic pain, like back pain, for example, goes to the doctor, gets a prescription. But the problem is these prescriptions are getting stronger. They're getting longer. So you can get these drugs for a longer period. Mm-hmm. And then when you can't get them, you start to then find them elsewhere, which is then where the fentanyl is. And fentanyl is extremely concentrated and can kill you extremely quickly. So they'll cut, I believe that's the term.
Yes.
Other drugs with this fentanyl to keep costs down is one theory. But ultimately, it leads to a majority of the overdoses that are happening right now. And I think this is why, I mean, one of the big reasons why, it's not the reason why, but this is one of the big reasons why construction workers are at what looks to be highest risk of opioid overdose of any occupation in the United States, is because of the wear and tear on bodies and the prescription drug use.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw in the next few years doctors asking what your occupation is.
But I don't think the problem is, I don't think it's going to come from doctors.
No, I don't think it should.
Yeah, but I'm not post COVID. I'm not a huge believer in the medical establishment.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
I think a lot of people feel that way. And I don't know if we can just say, well, you know, doctors, the medical industry is going to see this information and they're going to be more responsible about their prescriptions. That's not how it's going
to
work.
They probably already have this information to some extent.
Especially the opioid overdose deal, it's been getting more mainstream over the past year or two because now there's so many people dying from it. It used to be, you know, they're just a drug addict. Yeah. Okay, cool. You know, that's terrible, but you know, you get what you get when you're an addict is, I think, kind of how it was before. And I'm speaking very frankly here. That's not how I view it. But now it's, you know, I've known people that have died from overdoses. Have you had someone in your world or in, you know, one degree of separation away?
I believe I have.
And it's, I think,
if not, it's suicide because of substance use disorder.
That too. They do overlap. Yeah. But I think now that it's become a lot more pervasive and now that it's affected everyday people that it normally wouldn't have, you can't ignore it because this is, whoa, they were going to try to take, what's a prescription? Morphine, for example.
Yeah.
And then they're dead the next day because they were trying to avoid some back pain.
Mm-hmm.
Were they just a worthless drug addict? No.
And it usually doesn't start like that. It starts with,
exactly,
this is a safe prescribed drug.
Yes.
To you.
A prescription from a doctor. What could go wrong here?
Yeah.
Which it's just,
it's scary. I'm glad that they're looking further into it.
And when I talked with Hamilton from U-Turn, and it was a podcast episode with U-Turn Health, he said for a long time with alcoholism, with drug abuse, and still today, people say, well, they'll figure it out when they hit rock bottom. But he cited these numbers, over 100,000 people a year dead from these overdoses. 100,000 dead. Those are the people dead, not that were able to get Narcan or help.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, when he said that, it's like, whoa, that really registered with me because I hadn't heard it laid out like that before.
Yeah. I think prevention is really what we should focus on rather than treatment.
I think.
Because you can't cure someone who's already dead.
And going to what we might be able to do about this, one, I'm just reading this because I was so alarmed and taken aback to see this that I at least wanted to get it out there because I think it needs to be talked about, one.
Mm-hmm.
And so one, I think it's important for businesses. If you're a construction business, you employ people in the industry or leaders in the industry, if you're foreman or whatever it is, leading people, I think this is a really important topic to talk about with people and to start, like suicide, for example, starting to attack the stigma that is surrounding it and some of the fallacies about it, that a lot of these people dying, they're not on the street. They're not, essentially what people have always been painted out to be if they overdose. These oftentimes are just normal people that have families, that do their jobs and have had a prescription in the past. So I think one, talking about it is huge. Two, and watching a lot of U-turns training, just forming relationships with people, mm-hmm. and getting to know people so that, you know, and I thought a lot about this, is people aren't going to talk to you about issues if you don't have a good relationship with them, and they don't, if they don't feel like you care about them, mm-hmm. they're not going to feel like they can talk to you about anything.
Or even trust you.
Or trust you, or anything of the sort. And so I think, one, making this known is huge. Two, building relationships with people. So if something is wrong, they feel like they can talk to you, or you can spot if something might be off, for example.
Where do you stand on like spotting this and retaining employees who have had performance issues due to addiction struggles?
I'm pretty open to it. Because I've grown up around addicts, around alcoholism,
yeah.
And I don't at all think that should just disqualify you from
immediately
from a good life, from providing for your family. I think, and a lot of people, whether they know it or not, struggle with it. It's extraordinarily common,
yeah.
Substance abuse, so common, mm-hmm. substance abuse. I think it is very, it's worth understanding if you do get that prescription, mm-hmm. where it can lead.
Yeah.
I think it's naive to say, well, that can't happen to me. And honestly, I've stayed away from prescription medications for some things purely because I'm just so afraid of the path it could go down that I would rather deal with, and this is, I know this isn't for everybody. I know there's some pain that you just can't fucking tolerate, or anxiety, or whatever it is, like debilitating. I get that. But I think it, whether you're on medication or not, if you're exploring a prescription, I think it is worth just understanding, hey, this could go down a negative path, and I need to be aware of that. I think even just being aware of it, going into it, is really key. There are addiction programs, like 12-step programs, like what U-Turn Health offers. Alcoholics Anonymous, it's just AA.org. Narcotics Anonymous, NA.org. There's a lot of recovery programs out there that I think are really effective. I've had people that I know very closely that have gone to these programs and are much better off for it nowadays. And I think, again, because it comes back to mostly injuries, I think it's really important to also be healthy, mm-hmm. and to take care of your body. And the more you can do to maybe eat a little bit better this year, exercise or walk just a little bit more to try to keep weight off. People, we say we need stretch and flex, but mm-hmm. we don't say, well, you're probably far more prone to slips, trips, falls, sprains if you're overweight than not, mm-hmm. is, to me, it makes more sense. I think stretching's great, but being healthy is key. And then I think if you listen to any of the old timers, they tell you don't do the dumb stuff. Like, you know, something I see a lot is machines. You can jump off the machine. And that's not best practice, but it's faster. It's more fun to just jump off and you're like, well, I'm young, I can do it, I'm good to go. But if you can just take the extra 3 seconds to turn around and scoot down the ladder, one, the right way, so you don't get written up by somebody, but two, the way that reduces the wear and tear on your body, I think that's better for everybody. Or I've shared a video of like I don't know why, but everybody just loses it with hydraulic ladders on dozers for some reason. They think it's lazy, but I see that. I was like, well, if I had a ladder, especially in the middle of winter, that I can climb up a lot safer than trying to climb up the tracks and potentially eat it and smash my face on something or
metal.
Yeah, twist my leg in a weird way or something like that. I'm gonna do that rather than climb up it like Tarzan and potentially injure myself. And if that makes me soft, so be it. And these are the same guys that are complaining about how their bodies are beat up, calling the next generation soft. It's like, well, wait a minute. We're looking at you all broken, thinking, well, I don't want to do that. I know better. So is there a better way? And maybe there is a better way to keep the strain off your body in the first place.
I think so. The problem is that it happens and that people do get hurt and people do get prescription drugs. I mean, they get drugs prescribed to them, and this does happen. And I wonder what the role of companies and leadership is to make people feel comfortable enough to talk about it, because it's already hard enough because, hey, I feel like I'm starting to need these prescription drugs. But yeah. Also, I'm working at the same level I was working at, if not better. And I'm doing everything I need to do. I'm paying my bills. So why would I tell someone that I'm struggling?
Yeah. Yeah.
And risk losing my job, my whole life, my family, and being an addict.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's the hardest part.
Yeah. I
And I don't think we'll have a solution today.
No, and I don't think we'll even come close to any kind of solution. But all I wanted to do at least was to first bring this up and say, this isn't a growing issue. This is very real. And I hope that by starting to talk about it, we can make it more known and potentially get someone the help they need.
Yeah. And just help leaders, especially in this industry, be more compassionate to this problem, because these are not just single people. It's ruining entire families.
Yes. Yeah. If the person supporting the whole family financially goes away.
Yeah.
That's not good.
The impact is much larger than just 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Which it shouldn't even be at that number.
It's
already, but
it makes me sick.
Yeah.
So that is I guess today's article from, again, forconstructionpros.com, Opioids and Overdose Deaths in the Construction Industry, A Call to Action by Cal Bayer. Thank you for this article, Cal. We really appreciate you putting this together, bringing this to light. And if you all have anything else you'd like us to discuss on future episodes or comments, whatever it is, feel free to write us anytime at dirttalk@buildwit.com. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you regardless of what it is. And with that, we'll see you on the next one. Stay dirty, everybody.
Can I just put in a note after?
Yes.
If you think someone's struggling or you know someone's struggling, AANA, U-Turn Health, or just talk to them.
Or 811 is the suicide hotline.
811. So yeah. I think it's everyone's duty, whether you're just a leader or an employee, to handle it with compassion and care and understand that it's very easy to be in those shoes.
Yeah,
and it's not the person's fault.
No, and as a business, we just implemented U-Turn last week, and all it is we can sit here and from an employment standpoint and say, well, we have these resources provided by our healthcare provider, but everybody knows that they're absolutely worthless, if not more than worthless in a lot of ways, with how frustrating it is to navigate some of these systems.
It can be tough.
It can be almost impossible. And so we've provided U-Turn to our people. And so anybody at our business struggling with stress, anxiety, substance abuse can call this one number that U-Turn provides 7 days a week and talk to somebody. It's not just for them, but it's for their immediate family members as well. Their spouses, their children, which I think is is pretty impactful at the same time. So if you're an employer listening to this and you want a great program, I promote U-Turn. They're not paying me to promote them. I promote them because I just believe in their product. And I think it's a really worthwhile thing to offer to our people. And it's completely confidential. They just charge us based on what usage is, but we don't know any of the details behind the usage, nothing of the sort. We just say, here's the program, here's the number to call, use it anytime you need it.
And if you can't get that, just even a simple conversation, it can be life-changing to someone. So
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.